Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I graduated from college, I had the great opportunity to move to Seattle for 5 years, and I had a housemate named David Bishop. David had Down syndrome. He had zest for life. He prayed constantly. He competed fervently. He worked enthusiastically. He took art classes next door and sang Taizé music on Friday nights at the cathedral. He was active, engaged, and a big part of my 5 years there. And I mention him today because I have two distinct images of him from a few years into my time there. The first happened with the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympic Games. David was selected to be a torchbearer as the Olympic torch made its way through the streets of Seattle. And so we gathered a whole group of people to watch him. And of course, the city itself was there in droves, cheering him on as he carried that torch through those hilly streets of Seattle. It was festive and memorable, and we were all so proud to know David. And then that very same year, Lent came around, and on Good Friday, we participated in a Stations of the Cross event, where, again, we were downtown Seattle and visited various places of worship for the different stations along the path that Jesus took on his way to Jerusalem. And as we did that, we actually had someone carry a big life-size cross. And the person among the hundreds of people that gathered that day for the Stations of the Cross event, of course, who volunteered on the spur of the moment, was my friend David. He carried a life-size cross just weeks or months after carrying that Olympic torch. And these two images stood out to me, because they represented to me the image of glory, that torch bearing and enthusiasm of that, and of course the image of the cross, both embodied by the same beautiful person in my house. Today's gospel embodies a little bit of that flavor as well. It's a pivotal text in this gospel of Mark. Up until now, Jesus has been healing the sick. He's been performing miracles by exercising demons and feeding multitudes. He's done all sorts of things that people have been wanting to follow him for in Galilee. In today's text, however, it takes a turn. This is where the whole gospel turns towards the cross. We start going to Jerusalem, and Peter, James, and John are with Jesus. And Jesus asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" You heard Pastor McLean just read that. And they say they think you're Elijah or St. John the Baptist or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus says, "Okay, but who do you say that I am?" And that's when Peter says, "You are the Messiah. But do not tell anyone," Jesus tells them. And that's a common theme throughout this gospel as well. Jesus elaborates on what this means to be the Messiah. He says that he must be handed over to the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, that he must die on a cross, and then in 3 days be raised again. And Peter doesn't want to hear it. Because, of course, Peter thinks the way we all think, that the Messiah shouldn't have to suffer. The Messiah should be able to sweep through and dominate life as we know it, get rid of the hard parts, run with the torch that burns, and gain the glory. And then for Jesus to ask us to do exactly what he is doing as being his followers, to pick up our cross, is a tough pill to swallow. When I graduated from college, someone gave me a book called Winners and Losers. She wanted to inspire me to be on the winning side of life. And truth be told, I used to be in athletics. And there were moments where I would do anything to be on that winning side. I didn't really like to lose. I didn't care if I always won, but I didn't want to be last place if I was in a race. And if we're honest, I think most of us are like that. Most of us don't like to lose. And yet there are places that we all experience where we lose, we're broken, we're abandoned, we're oppressed, we're bullied. In essence, these places of the cross. And these are the places in actuality where Jesus promises touch us most profoundly. Because Jesus knows that carrying the cross is the one uniting factor for all human beings. To live is to struggle, To live is to hurt. To live is to experience loss. And yet we will do anything to position ourselves and our loved ones to not have to experience hardship. Walter Brueggemann tells a great story that I totally relate to about his friends who have a 4-year-old son, that they're so worried about the big decision they have to make, which kindergarten to enroll him in. Because if he doesn't get in the right kindergarten, he won't get into the right prep school, and that would mean not getting into the right college, and that would mean not getting the right job and having the right connections and be able to live a pain-free life. It is a story that is a parable for us today because we position ourselves to win. If we're in these places, we assure ourselves that God is in these places too. And sure, God is always with us. God is with us wherever we are. But God is most clearly with us when we least expect it. God turns our expectations about where true power comes from when he predicts his death and resurrection for the first time of three in this passage. He'll do it 2 more times throughout the gospel, and his disciples will not get it any of the times. They don't want to get it, and I don't think we necessarily want to get it either. Life is a little bit better, for me at least, when I don't have to suffer. But Jesus turns that expectation of mine on end and says, you can be sure God is with you when you are in places you do not choose for yourself, places of loss, places of brokenness, places of pain, the places where you have no control over what happens to you. Because when you're in these places, God's power works in ways that you don't even understand. And God's ways simply bring new life. Jesus knows that we don't like to be in these places, to show weakness or wounds. We don't want people's pity. We don't want to be taken advantage of. We don't want to feel embarrassed or ashamed. We don't want to hurt. So we go along with life, and we might hide our deepest and truest pain. And life can become actually quite miserable when that happens. Life itself becomes a burden we don't know what to do with because we try so hard to go it alone, but it eats us up. And we lose the vitality for life that God hopes for us because it takes us further and further away from becoming the people God calls us to be. People of joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those fruits of the Spirit, that's what Jesus, that's what God wants for us. But when we bury those things that seem like the opposite of those things, when we become fixed on becoming successful or rising above our brokenness, we in turn shed our brokenness on society, and we start to hurt others or ourselves. We are called to take up our cross because we follow Jesus. We don't control Jesus. We don't protect Jesus. We don't possess Jesus. We follow Jesus, the one who not only took up his cross, but also revealed that nothing in this world, not even hatred or darkness or violence or death, can overcome the light and love and new life that God brings. When we take up our cross, we share our burdens with one another and they with us, but we don't stop and get stuck there. Jesus calls us to carry the cross, but the cross never has the last word. Jesus calls us to the cross because Jesus knows that resurrection always follows, and we can then live lives of courage and strength and fearlessness, living into that promise ourselves. So back to my friend David. There's something so real and pure and honest about the way he lives life. He was born with Down syndrome. He's born with special needs. But he approaches things head on. He's not afraid to share his pain. He probably doesn't even realize there's pain in his life. He just lives. He carries the cross, but he carries the torch too. Jesus tells us that this is the way of God's power. Carrying the cross is not the end of the story, for God's light and life always prevail. And when we bravely take up the cross, we recognize that we too can bravely share God's light, love, and life with the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.